This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Impeachment gains momentum. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Halloween, Thursday, October 31. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The House today is set to finalize guidelines for its impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Meanwhile, Democrats now want to hear from John Bolton.
The Reagan Presidential Library escaped a Southern California wildfire, but heavy winds will fan flames in the region again today.
The Washington Nationals are the World Series champs, rallying from two runs down in the seventh inning to beat the Astros in the deciding Game 7.
And why some therapists are suggesting that certain teenagers spend even more time on social media.
They're texting, they're using Snapchat, Instagram to make plans with each other, to, you know, just to know what's sort of going on, to pass different memes around, that kids who avoid social media can find themselves really left out and, you know, missing out on those social connections.
Reporter Andrea Peterson at the Wall Street Journal on teens who can be helped by spending more time on places like Instagram. That story in about 20 minutes. The House today is set to debate and vote on a resolution that formalizes the impeachment inquiry into President Trump. To be clear, this is not a vote on impeachment. This is a vote that would provide guidelines for the investigation. Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Jim McGovern is chair of the House Rules Committee.
As much as I disagree with this president and don't like his tweets, his tone, or his policies, I never wanted our country to come to this point.
Tom Cole of Oklahoma is the ranking Republican on the committee.
Of course, there's nothing formal about it other than the speaker saying so. The House has never voted to conduct such an inquiry, and the committees have operated in the dark without formal authorization on what amounts to nothing more than an expanded fishing expedition.
In other related news, former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton has been asked to testify next week. He was fired by Mr. Trump last month. Meanwhile, Tim Morrison, the top Russia specialist on the National Security Council, is due to testify today. He resigned from his position yesterday. In an impeachment trial in the Senate, President Trump would look up to see one of his Washington establishment foes, Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, presiding over the proceedings. Mr. Trump, who has clashed with Chief Justice Roberts over the perceived political bias of the federal courts, would have to count on him for a fair hearing. It's a prospect that has caused rumblings in Washington that the Chief Justice should recuse himself. It's a story by Alex Swoyer, reporter at the Washington Times. Alex, explain.
When you're in Washington, basically the only conversation you're hearing is about impeachment. And so people are starting to speculate and look down the road. You have people on the left that have complained about the president having Trump appointees on the high court that could decide cases and challenges that relate to the impeachment fight. And then you also have those on the right, those that back the president, that have said that they're worried that he's not going to get a fair shot. They've pointed to, Justice Ginsburg back during the campaign had went as far and said, made comments about President Trump. And so there's been questions about if she should have to recuse once a legal battle over the House Democrats' subpoena power and what they're able to get their hands on will likely go before the justices. And then there's also been some Republicans that support the president that say, you know, Justice Roberts, when he made the statement last year, very pointedly, which was unusual for the Chief Justice to come out and say, there are no Trump judges, there are no Obama judges, and he tried really to stand up for the independence of the judiciary. But we all know who that was toward. That was to the president, who likes to categorize judges by the president who appointed them. And so there's been some that have said, hey, that, you know, that looks like a jab, and Trump took to Twitter to criticize the Chief Justice for that statement. So there's been some that said they would like to see him even recuse himself from overseeing a possible impeachment trial in the Senate. And so I think the speculation is if That's not likely to happen at all. But if that were, then it would go to the next senior justice to oversee it, which I'm told it is Justice Thomas.
Wow. So as you alluded to it there, the odds of Justice Roberts recusing himself if it goes to a Senate trial are, what, slim to none?
Right, absolutely. If I was in Vegas, I would definitely bet not. I would bet, in even with the subpoena fight, when it goes to the full, if that legal battle gets up to the high court and the full bench is going to have to decide one way or the other what how far the House Dems can go and who they call or what they can, documents they can get their hands on, I would say you're not going to see any recusals. You know, the justices don't abide by the same recusal standards as lower court judges. And so that's been something that's also been a topic of debate over a number of years.
Yeah.
In Congress, and whether they should be, you know, implementing some sort of ethics or conflict of interest screening. So it's going to be something to watch. I doubt Justice Ginsburg will recuse. All the legal scholars that I've talked to have said, especially with Justice Roberts, his statement, that it was very much just the independence of the judiciary. They don't see a conflict there. They don't see a conflict with any. One of the lawyers I spoke to actually said, you know, and the idea that a Trump appointee would have to step aside or recuse is also out of the question.
Hmm. We're speaking with Alex Swoyer, legal affairs reporter at The Washington Times, and she's written an interesting piece entitled Crisis of Confidence, John Roberts' Impeachment Role Prompts Recusal Rumblings. And, of course, it's a reference to John Roberts, who's the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He would be the presiding judge if an impeachment trial were to take place in the Senate. Is the relationship different between President Trump and this Supreme Court than other presidents and courts? You referenced before that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg called President Trump a faker, right?
That's unusual, right? Like, we haven't seen any of the justices really, at least in when I'm looking back at President Obama's administration, say anything so pointed at the president then. But we do remember, I think it was during one of President Obama's State of the Unions, he took a jab at the Supreme Court. I believe it was over the Affordable Care Act, if I recall correctly. There was one court case he didn't like. So there have been, you know, a history of presidents being critical of the court. That's for sure.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Swoyer, reporter at The Washington Times. At least 10 wildfires are burning across California, with at least 36,000 residents now under mandatory evacuation orders. That's down from 200,000 last week. Meanwhile, diminishing winds brought relief to crews at the Kincade Fire near San Francisco. CAL FIRE spokesman Jonathan Cox.
We've made some pretty significant progress on the fire. The winds that we were talking about yesterday did not materialize to the extremes that we were fearful of, and that gave us a big opportunity to increase that containment overnight and again today.
But in Southern California, firefighters battling a pair of blazes are set to again fight critical conditions today. The National Weather Service says hurricane-strength winds could fan the so-called Easy Fire that is threatening 7,000 homes in Ventura County and spawn new blazes. With no dangerous winds in the forecast for Northern California, Pacific Gas and Electric said no power shutoffs were planned for next week. PG&E crews were working to restore power for tens of thousands of customers late last night. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When it comes to keeping your small business's valuable information safe, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking. Plus, right now, get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. Running your own small business is a big challenge, but with the right partner, it's a lot easier. To speak with an advisor today, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Glad you're with us. Some political campaigns may have to re-strategize their ad placements. Twitter has announced it's banning political advertising. The decision was announced in a series of tweets yesterday by CEO Jack Dorsey. More from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Twitter's policy will be enforced worldwide starting in 3 weeks. Twitter plans to allow some exceptions, such as ads in support of voter registration. In a tweet, Mr. Dorsey wrote, "Paying to increase the reach of political speech has significant ramifications that today's democratic infrastructure may not be prepared to handle." Twitter is taking the opposite approach of rival Facebook, which has been under fire in recent weeks by lawmakers and even its own employees, calling for changes in how Facebook handles political advertising.
Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Political advertising represents a small portion of Twitter's overall advertising. The Wall Street Journal says Twitter generated $2.1 billion of revenue from advertising in the first 9 months of this year. Advertising is 86% of total revenue. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump's top advisor for Russian and European affairs is leaving his job at the White House a day before he's scheduled to testify before House impeachment investigators. Tim Morrison owes his job at the National Security Council to Trump, but his testimony today in the House impeachment inquiry might be central to the probe. Meanwhile, the House is set to debate and vote today on the resolution formalizing the impeachment inquiry. Republican Congressman Tom Cole of Oklahoma.
It's not an open process, and it's certainly not been a transparent process. It's been limited and closed. And frankly, I think we're moving toward a preordained result.
Democratic Congressman Jim McGovern of Massachusetts.
I don't know whether President Trump will be impeached. Only the facts and how we respond to them will dictate that. But I can tell you this. This process determining whether he should be impeached will be open to the public view, just as it should be.
The measure would need at least 217 yeas to pass. Several news organizations have put the yay vote at least 228.
The kick in, here it comes. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books! The celebration is on!
The final call on WJFK as the Washington Nationals completed their amazing comeback journey, winning the World Series over the Houston Astros in Game 7, 6-2. It's the first title in franchise history for the Nationals. Santa Ana winds are expected to linger for another day after driving more than a dozen wildfires through California, sending thousands fleeing and burning up nearly to the walls of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. Firefighters managed to tamp down or at least partially corral fires that for the past few days surged through tinder dry brush in both the north and south, destroying dozens of homes. The dramatic periwinkle dress worn by Lady Gaga at this year's Golden Globes is being auctioned off by a housekeeper who found it in the star's hotel room a day after the awards. The singer and actress apparently left the gown at the Beverly Hilton. It then spent months in Lost and Found before being given to the employee who discovered it. An auction house has set an opening bid of $8,000, but questions are being raised over whether the dress is really the hotel's to sell. The Beverly Hills Police Department told CNN it responded to a call made last week about a possible theft investigation.
Uh-oh. Look out. The periwinkle dress.
That's a weird story.
That is a weird story. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Psychologists have a new directive for anxious teens. Post selfies on Instagram and Snapchat. Most teens, it can seem to grown-ups, need to be pulled away from social media. Teens with anxiety disorders, however, may need to be pushed toward it. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Peterson has been looking into this. Andrea, what's up here?
Teens that struggle with anxiety may actually need to be pushed toward it. Social media and texting can be a minefield for any teen, but for anxious teens, it can be particularly difficult. They might worry about posting the exact right picture or compare themselves to, everyone else's pictures and think that their life doesn't measure up. Mm. And some of them actually may avoid social media altogether. And that may sound like a good thing, especially to parents who are concerned that kids are spending way too much time with their smartphones. But what it means is that because this is the way teens are communicating, they're using digital communication, they're texting, they're using Snapchat, Instagram to make plans with each other, to, just to know what's sort of going on, to pass different memes around, that kids who avoid social media can find themselves really left out and, missing out on those social connections.
We're speaking with Andrea Peterson at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called When the Prescription for Teens is More Social Media, Not Less. So you referenced a student in New York City. I think he's 17 now, but he's had an Instagram page for several years, like since middle school, but never really posted on it. What was his thing, and where is he now?
Right. I talked to Xavier Martinez, who's 17, from New York, and he actually attended a boot camp. He deals with social anxiety disorder, and that manifests itself in several different ways. He has a hard time ordering for himself at restaurants. He has a hard time making plans and keeping them with friends. And he also really wanted to post on his Instagram page. I mean, that's how A lot of teens expressed themselves. You know, he wanted to be able to post, you know, the things that he liked and photos of himself and his family. And he really felt like he couldn't because he was just so worried about doing it incorrectly. So he actually went to this boot camp. And during that, the therapy program actually had a private Instagram account. And then part of the kids' homework was to post selfies on the page and to also like and comment each other's posts. So he told me that in the beginning it was very difficult, but over time with practice, he got better at it. And now he actually will post on his own Instagram page. And this is actually a basic tenet of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a kind of talk therapy that has been shown to be very effective for anxiety disorders. And it involves changing your thinking that can fuel anxiety, and also to expose yourself to the very things that you're afraid of. So it's called exposure therapy. So that's what was happening here. Is, you know, the teens that were afraid to post on social media, they, you know, they just kept having to do it and do it and do it, and with practice, it becomes easier.
It's Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Peterson. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, what's longer, your watch list or your reading list? For me, it's definitely my reading list, but there are not enough hours in the day. Then I found Blinkist. Blinkist is the app that condenses the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books down to 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. It's great on a commute. I like it as a refresher for books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm catching up right now on all kinds of history that I never learned in school. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning. To start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, October 31. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The House to vote on impeachment rules today. More wildfire evacuations in Southern California. Ford and the United Auto Workers have reached a tentative contract agreement, avoiding a strike. Day 11 of the Chicago teacher strike. Nats win the World Series. NBA, the Warriors' Steph Curry suffered a broken hand last night. Thursday night football this evening, Niners at Cardinals. And parents who want Halloween held on a weekend. That story in about 20 minutes. While there has been significant Republican criticism on Capitol Hill of President Trump's actions towards Syria and the Kurdish people there, overall, the GOP has become synonymous with support for Mr. Trump. The few members of Congress who have strongly and consistently criticized the president are not sticking around past the 2020 elections. What does that mean exactly? More from Simone Pathay, political reporter at Roll Call. Simone, set this up.
I guess the most drastic example would be Justin Amash from Michigan. Now, he has said that he is seeking re-election, but he's actually left his party, right? So over the summer, he quit the Republican Party, became an independent. He has said he's running for re-election in Michigan's 3rd District, but you've got a lot of Republican groups here in Washington and also in Michigan who are ready to take him out. He has left the door open, however, to running for president. So yet to be determined whether he'll actually come back to Congress. It looks like either way, that's unlikely. Others are Texas Representative Will Hurd, who's in a perennial swing district. He has said he is not coming back. Paul Mitchell, also of Michigan, Francis Rooney of Florida, and John Shimkus of Illinois are the folks I primarily focused on. A few other members who have broken with Trump in the past, Martha Roby from Alabama, for example. She disavowed him in 2016. Right before the election, when the Access Hollywood tape came out, she called on him to step aside as the Republican nominee, and that caused her some headaches. She had a pretty narrow margin by Alabama standards due to a write-in campaign in that 2016 election, and that forced her into a primary runoff in 2018. She has sort of repaired her relationship with the White House out of pressure, I think, to win a Republican primary these days. You have to hew pretty closely to Trump's line, but she is not coming back to Congress of her own volition. And then Susan Brooks of Indiana, she is a more moderate Republican. She was one of just four Republicans to join with Democrats in condemning the president's tweets earlier this year as racist.
Well, you mentioned, was it Ms. Roby who brought up the Access Hollywood tape, right, and asked the president to step aside? She then earned his backing, though, right?
She did.
How did that happen?
Yes. It's a careful calculus that a lot of members have had to make. You've seen plenty of folks who disavowed him in 2016 before the election have now said that they are going to vote for him in 2020. Will Hurd has said he's probably going to support him. Even John Shimkus, who earlier this year, this fall, made headlines for saying that he was not going to support Trump. What he meant by that apparently was that he didn't want to be on his official supporter list, but he still fully intends to vote for him. So it's a dance we've seen Republicans do for their own reelection goals. They know that they need the president's support, especially in deep red territory like Roby's district.
We're speaking with Simone Pathe, politics reporter at Roll Call. Her piece is called Trump Has GOP Critics in Congress, but many of them aren't sticking around. What else stood out as you were pulling this together?
I think for me, one of the interesting things was to talk to members about where they thought their voices would go after they leave Congress and what they think they'll be able to do. Will Hurd, of course, is a pretty prominent member of the Republican conference, the only black Republican in the House. I asked him, you know, what he thought he was going to do and where he thought his voice would go. And he said, look, I'm not dying. I'm still going to have plenty of opportunities. He suggested that he might find opportunities in the media, in the private sector, in academia, and he's left the door open to running for president in 2024. He has said another priority for him is going to be to try to make the Republican Party look like the rest of the country. So diversifying, trying to get more diverse candidates to run in 2020, for example. He did not seem to see any incongruity between himself being the only black Republican in the House, leaving and yet trying to sell other diverse Republicans on coming to the institution. He said, you know, it's not a full-time job and that it's the kind of thing where you have to stay and then leave and make room for other people. Other members admitted that they don't really know if anyone's going to care what they do. We've seen in the past folks who have been critical of Trump, Jeff Flake, for example, or Bob Corker, you know, they still make news occasionally for weighing in. Flake, yeah, of course, has a TV contract. So there are various ways you can still be part of the public conversation. Mark Sanford for South Carolina, he lost his primary in 2018 largely because he was critical of Trump and Trump endorsed his opponent. He's now challenging the president, of course, in a very long shot bid for president.
All right. Thanks, Simone. Simone Pathe, politics reporter at Roll Call. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop, I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know there are a few things adults dread more than a summons for jury duty, though a 10-year-old kid might relish the opportunity to miss a few days of school to hang out at the courthouse. Unfortunately, that is against the rules and causing one Connecticut family to scratch their heads, wondering how their 10-year-old son received a summons in the mail. The Dondero family of Glastonbury said their son Nick was the recipient of a summons, causing the parents to send it back, explaining that he was underage. The Connecticut judicial branch said the family filed the correct procedure, saying that the branch gets names for jury duty from the Department of Motor Vehicles, the Department of Labor, Registrar of Voters, and the Department of Revenue Services. The received names do not include the bearer's ages.
Wow.
That still doesn't explain how this happened.
No, it does not.
Because this 10-year-old boy should not be, his name shouldn't be with any of those departments.
Right.
You wouldn't think.
Right.
So again, once again, not instilling confidence in us that our government is, you know, knows what they're doing mm-hmm. when it comes to these sort of things.
Do you think, though, that a panel of jurists might not be better served by having, say, 10, 12, 10-year-olds
yes.
on it?
Well, we know that kids are not afraid at all to speak their mind.
Kind of what I'm thinking, right?
They're the most honest people in the world. So, yeah, an entire jury consisting just of 10-year-olds, I want to be in the room for that.
Yeah.
I want to see that. I don't think the you know, defendant would be super happy about that or
not.
Their lawyers, but I would enjoy that for sure.
Tell you what, this family, though, ought to consider whether or not perhaps he's licensed to drive
yeah.
and doesn't even know it because he's registered with the Department right. of Motor Vehicles.
Right. What's he doing right. online? That we don't know about.
Maybe he's
right?
registered to vote.
Yes.
And perhaps since he's registered with the Department of Revenue Services, he's got some high-paying side gig as a third or fourth grader.
Right. In which case they need to come with their hands out and ask for a cut.
Oh my goodness.
And we know there are plenty of legends, Gordon, who emerged to help propel the Washington Nationals to a thrilling World Series win, but few more memorable than the man whose decision to save $19 worth of beer immediately made him a hero to many. You'll remember we told you earlier this week about Nationals fan Jeff Adams, who instantly became famous when, during World Series Game 5, he decided in the moment not to drop the two tall cans of Bud Light he was double-fisting, and instead let an Astros home run ball bounce right off of his chest. Adams received adulation from many, including Bud Light, who subsequently gave him tickets to Game 6 and 7
wow.
in Houston, complete with a custom T-shirt featuring Adams' likeness and captioned, "Always save the beers." They also featured Adams in a quickly put-together commercial spot with the tagline, "Not all heroes wear capes or gloves." Now, we don't know if it was Adams' presence in enemy territory or just the Nats' dominant pitching performances, but we know that with the beer hero in attendance, Washington was able to come from behind and take the series in 7 games.
Man, this was more of a soccer move
yeah.
than a baseball move.
Right, exactly.
Right, because baseball, at least generally speaking, you make an effort to use your hands when the
yes.
ball is coming at you. You use your chest as backup to,
right.
say, block a ground ball or something.
Right, so he not only did he bounce off his chest like a soccer player, but he played it like a pro. He deadened it as it hit his
yeah.
chest, fell right to his feet. So
yeah.
he actually recovered the
right.
home run ball after he finally put his two beers down.
Right. The soccer marketers might want to reach out to that guy.
That is something we got to find out.
Purely on technique. By the way, don't forget, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. And on Facebook, we have been declared the best morning show in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, Facebook says it. It must
yeah.
be true.
That's, I mean, what else? How higher can you go?
Thank
the
you, best, Zuckerberg.
The
we
best,
appreciate it.
Best morning show in the world. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
When it comes to keeping your small business's valuable information safe, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking. Plus, right now, get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. Running your own small business is a big challenge, but with the right partner, it's a lot easier. To speak with an advisor today, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Frost may not have yet settled on the pumpkins on your porch, but that hasn't stopped hordes of shoppers from getting a jump start on purchasing gifts for the winter holidays. The annual holiday forecast from the National Retail Federation says roughly 40% of consumers begin their holiday shopping before Halloween. Further, a full 19% are early bird shoppers who started in September or earlier. One reason? People want to spread out their spending. USA Today says early shopping has been a consistent trend now for the past 15 years. Not only are shoppers starting earlier, but they're spending more as well. The Federation predicts holiday retail sales during November and December will increase by about 4% over 2018 for a total of around $730 billion. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Democrats have set the stage for a certain House approval of the ground rules lawmakers will use when they consider impeaching President Trump as the chamber braces for its first showdown over the inquiry. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia told ABC he's waiting to see the evidence before making any judgments.
I'm understanding the process is the same as what we've always used in this type of a proceeding. If it's something different than that and it's not fair, I'll speak out about it, but I haven't seen that yet.
Meanwhile, House investigators are asking former National Security Advisor John Bolton to testify. Lawmakers want to hear next week from Bolton, the hawkish former advisor who openly sparred over the administration's approach to Ukraine. In particular, President Trump's reliance on his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, for a back-channel operation. Bolton once derided Giuliani's work as a drug deal and said he wanted no part of it. Bolton's attorney says his client would not appear without a subpoena. A fast-moving brush fire broke out yesterday northwest of Los Angeles. Incident Commander Chief Chad Cook says the Easy Fire had burned more than 1,500 acres as of last night.
The fire outflanked us very rapidly today, pushed by those 40 to 50 mile an hour winds. We did experience gusts up to 65 miles an hour this morning, which made long range spotting very, very dangerous.
In Northern California, the massive Kincade Fire has grown to more than 76,000 acres. By last evening, it was 45% contained and had damaged or destroyed about 200 homes and other buildings. A massive fire caused by a cooking gas stove erupted today on a train traveling in Pakistan's eastern Punjab province, killing at least 65 passengers. It's the latest tragedy to hit Pakistan's dilapidated, poorly maintained, and mismanaged rail system. Several people jumped off the train, many to their deaths, after the fire broke out. Taylor Swift has won more American Music Awards than any other artist this decade, so it's only fitting that the songstress be honored as Artist of the Decade at this year's ceremony. Dick Clark Productions and ABC announced the award and revealed that the superstar will take the stage to perform the biggest hits of her more than a decade-long career. Swift has the most AMA wins of any female artist ever, with 23.
Wow, impressive. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. An unusual sight is expected this year on Halloween night in Clark County, Ohio. That's tonight. Children out trick-or-treating. Adults are horrified. For years, some say decades, town in the West Central Ohio area have sent their children trick-or-treating on the last Saturday of the month, close to Halloween, something they call Beggar's Night. The Wall Street Journal says the approach avoided a problem that has bedeviled parents elsewhere. The dreaded weeknight Halloween, with school the next day. When little kids might be sugared up and tired from a late night walking the neighborhood looking for freebies. Clark County's workaround ended yesterday after the county sheriff declared Halloween would be celebrated on Halloween. The sheriff's assistant says they're getting calls about when Halloween is and why Halloween can't be on Halloween. Jacob Wagner, a 31-year-old basketball coach and uncle, says parents that aren't happy about this situation should remember it when the next election for county sheriff comes up. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.